My name is David. I'm going to be your room host for this session. Welcome to session number one. The workshop name is Empowering Men, Addressing the Real Life Issues Men Are Facing. Our presenter, Ray Burgos. And just so you know, this workshop is sponsored by Granger Law Firm. All right?
Amen. Well, good morning, men.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing today? It's so great to hear just men pushing forward and stepping up and coming in. So incredibly grateful that you're here today. And just want to let you guys know one thing, that us as men, we struggle. How many know that? It's a struggle. If you're here this morning, you're here in this session, it's because you and I all know that we struggle in this 21st century context. So we're going to talk about some real life stuff. And as men, a lot of things that we tend to do is hold everything inside. Keep everything to ourselves because we have so much on our plate. So I want to ask you all a question today. Here's the question I want to ask. How many of us as men are trying to lead on the outside, but quietly losing battles on the inside? And that's something to marinate on. That's something to reflect on. Because oftentimes as men, our battle isn't always the outside. The battle, and for myself, I'll put myself as the example, the battle's always in the inside. It's always the private battles that really hit us hard. And maybe you wake up and before you even pray, you're already on your phone. Notifications, emails, social media, your mind is already distracted before your day even starts. You're scrolling and you see other men winning. That's happened many times in my time, in my life, where I see other people just, they look like they're doing a lot better than myself. They're building, their finances look like everything is going well. The churches look like everything is pushing forward. And maybe you're a pastor, maybe you're on staff, or maybe you're just a leader in ministry, and you're wondering, why am I the only one struggling? You see, once you come off of your phone, once you come off of social media, then you get another notification that bill that needs to be paid. And wondering, where am I going to get that money from? Bills start stacking up, trying to provide. And quietly wondering, am I actually doing enough as a man? But it doesn't end there. How many are married in this room? And I just want to say this because we're all men in this room. Then tensions in marriage. Things start happening in our marriage. Things are just not working out too well. The honeymoon stage is over. And now life really hits us. There's tension in our marriages. And what starts happening? Conversations start feeling off. You don't even know how to explain what's going on the inside. And all this stuff I'm sharing with you are things that I've experienced and something that I still experience. See, because just because you're a leader or in ministry doesn't mean that now you're perfect. More struggles, more things start happening. So what do we do as men? We do this so much. Instead of opening up, we shut down. And we battle in secret. We stay quiet. And we may come and be in each other's presence, and we may smile in church, and we do that very well. We shake hands, and we do things like this. We'll say, hey, God bless you, brother. Like, how you doing? And what's the answer?
Good.
Right? And that is the man answer. I'm doing good. Actually, I have a mentor and my pastor here today, and he's one that always used to confront me with that, right, Pastor Tom? How are you? I'm doing all right, but really, how are you doing? And then that's when the opening up comes, which is why this is so important for us to have mentors, to have leaders, and have a brotherhood, because it is so, so important. You're trying to lead, you're trying to be present, you're trying to be a man of God, but you feel distracted, you feel pressured, and sometimes you just feel disconnected. But how many are grateful for the Word of God?
Amen.
Look what the Bible says in this is a blueprint that I want us to look at. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. ESV, if you want to take notes, you can take pictures. I also have a men's health assessment, spiritual health assessment, if anyone's interested in that after. Look what it says. But as for you, who's he talking about? It says, all men of God, say that with me, all men of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. See, that's the word this morning, right? Called. And about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So let's talk about that phrase for a moment. It says, but as for you. You know what that means? It's saying, not like culture, not like everyone else. You're called to live different. But as for you, even though they're all doing something else, as for you, has that ever been spoken over you, maybe family, as a kid? I don't know, they're all acting crazy, but as for you, this is what you're called to. I remember one time being a teenager, young kid, and I went to teenager camp or youth camp. And I don't know what it was, but there was just something happening in my life at that time where I was just getting in with what everyone else was doing. And in teen camp, we did what most youth do. We start messing around, we start doing crazy things, and we were bullying this kid. I remember we were bullying this kid in youth camp, yes, that time. And I remember one of the camp counselors came up and with a very authoritative voice. And for those who don't know, I'm Hispanic. I come from Hispanic culture. This was Spanish youth camp, so they were a little bit louder than the camp counselors. A little bit louder. And the camp counselor came up to me. And to this day, someone that I also look at as a mentor since I was a kid came up to me and says, why are you doing this? This is not you. He pulled me to the side. He said, this is not you. And pretty much in these words, in these terms, he said to me, there is a call of God in your life, and you don't want to get caught up with what everyone else is doing. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I remember that to this day, with kids, being married, pastoring the church, I still remember those words. And it reminds me of this phrase, but as for you, you're not called to be like everybody else. You're not called to live like everyone else. So what's the context in this scripture? Paul is writing to Timothy. He's a young male leader, and he's leading in Ephesus, a culture full of money, pressure, influence, corruption. And right before this, Paul addresses greed. He addresses pride. He addresses false teachings. Doesn't that sound familiar? Sounds like the 21st century. Sounds like the issues that are apparent in our day and age. And we find ourselves in this situation with God. But as for you, I don't know what you're going through this morning. Maybe you are struggling in your marriage. Maybe you feel alone in ministry because it's just difficult. Because how many know that people are difficult? Right? People are difficult. Ministry is difficult, and it causes us to retreat and to be in our bubble. And let me tell you, my wife always confronts me all the time. Thank God for some good spouses. You need to get out of your bubble. Because we get so consumed by ourselves because of the perils of this world. So Paul is calling a man in a compromised culture to live set apart. To live set apart. So, we find a blueprint in this scripture that I want us to address. And listen, we could talk about this for hours, but let's break this down in a 30-minute format. This is the blueprint that we find in 1 Timothy. We find these words. We find flee, pursue, and fight. Flee, pursue, and fight. In other words, what to run from, what to chase, and what to fight for. And it's right there clear for us. Flee, pursue, fight. So what are the things that we need to flee from as men in this culture? And Paul doesn't say manage it. He says flee it. Flee meaning get away. Get away. And when you look at some men in the scripture, a lot of strong men failed in private. Samson was a strong man. He failed in private. Many other men that you could think of in scripture, for some reason, the enemy knows that the way to get us is not in public, but as men, he gets us in private. Let's be real, because sometimes we like to beat around the bush with some issues as men, but there's some of us in this room and maybe some of us all around that when the pressure gets tough, we'll go to our circle, we'll go to our little hole by ourselves, and we will just get consumed by so many things. And what are one of those things we could get consumed by that we must flee from? This digital thing that we get so consumed with. Now in this day and age, we get consumed with our technology. We get consumed in the world of social media. And social media, praise God for it when it's used properly, but many times we can get so consumed by it. When tensions are rising, we have to release our anxiety and our depression and our fears. And we don't give it to God, but we release it in other ways. Men, do you know what I'm talking about? We release it in different ways. Digital escape, constant scrolling, always distracted. See, if a man always needs noise, he'll never hear from God. And there's so much noise. You know, there's this term in our culture, they call it, if you don't know what it is, it's called doom scrolling. Doom scrolling is when there's so much information coming so quickly to the point where you can't get out of it. You're stuck there. Next video, next video, next video, next thing, next video. And we can't get out of it, but it feels comfortable because we're in our circle. And we need to empower ourselves to get out of that circle. Tell somebody next to you, it's time to get out of that.
It's
time to get out of that. Binge watching. And there's a difference, ladies and gentlemen, between rest and escape. See, rest and getting away is intended to bring restoration to your soul so that you can get back out in community and be the best version of yourself. But rest can easily transition into isolation. See, I was preaching in my church the other day and I said there is a difference between solitude and isolation. Being in solitude with God is very valuable. Us as men, we need that time away and be in the presence and allow God to fill our cups. But then it can turn into isolation very quickly. And isolation is very dangerous as a man. Oh, I can tell you, I've failed as a man, as a husband, as a father, because I allowed isolation to get the best of me. And when you're in isolation, you'll start acting out, doing things, seeing things that you should not be acting, doing, and seeing. Because when you're by yourself, oh, that's when everything can start crashing down. See, the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone.
That's right.
And I don't believe it was just intended for having a partner, but I believe that there is a spiritual significance to even the Lord speaking that. It's not good for you to be in solitude, because here's the thing. Imagine being without God, by yourself, isolated, and the Holy Spirit not being present in your life. Are you still with me?
I'm
going to get through this. We got lustful escapes. Man, you know what I'm talking about. We got lustful escapes. We got the late night temptation. We got the word that we don't like to preach in church, pornography. That comes into play too. When there's tensions in our marriage, there's tensions by ourselves. And not just as a married man, also as a single man. We have to guard ourselves. That's why brotherhood is so important. Brotherhood. We need brothers. We need one another. And we shouldn't be going through this by ourselves. Here's a big one for our culture. I think this is the one that's the most dangerous. And this one I learned when I came to the church I pastor now, and I learned this from my pastor. Busyness can be an escape. Do you know that busyness can also be a cover-up to what's going on inside? To try to run away, what do? We get ourselves busy. And as pastors, I can tell you that that's the thing we get addicted to. I get addicted to being so busy that people can't even see if there's something going on with me. I did that very well. Very well. Smile and know the church language, right? We know the church lingo. We know the how to say God bless you, when to do your fake laugh when someone says something. Amen, brother. See, I did it. There we go. That's a real laugh, though, right there. That's a real laugh. Right? We know the language. We know the lingo. We have our schedule. We pack it up. We preach. We teach. We run. But in all reality, it's an escape. It's an escape because we are struggling with the perils of this world. We're struggling with the perils of this world. Do you know that I truly believe, and I know there's some men in this room that believe this. Actually, I believe all the men in this room believe this. I believe that there's a demonic agenda when it comes to men. That the enemy is doing everything in his power to remove men.
Yes.
To get them off of the playing field, to get them away from leadership, to get them away from pushing forward and stepping into their God-given call. I'm telling you, it's a demonic attack that's happening in men.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. That's good. That's good. And the truth of the matter is this. This is not a bash to women, and I want to make this clear. I'm a big, big believer in women in ministry. And we are big believers in women in ministry. But can I also tell you what's also sad? That there are many women that have stepped into ministry because a lot of men don't want to step up either. And sometimes we put so much pressure on them because, you know, the women, who are the first ones that raise their hand to volunteer? The women. Amen. I love that. Who are the first ones to say, I'll go do that? The women. Where are the men?
That's right.
You know what I think it is? It's the enemy is winning in private.
Yes, they are.
He's winning in private. Because when you're losing in private, why would you want to do anything in public?
Exactly.
It's hard. It's difficult. And I hope that this is blessing someone today. And I pray that when you go back to your church, you go back to your marriage, that you feel empowered to lead with integrity, in truth, and not be afraid to step forward in the call that God has placed in your life. I don't know who needs that today. I don't know how much time I have left, but I'll keep going. Emotional shutdown, avoiding conversations, disengaging. Some things in your life don't need management. They need distance. There are some things, man, we just have to run away from.
Yeah.
If you can't resist evil, flee. Run away. Get away from it. Second thing, and I'll go quickly with this. The second part of that blueprint was pursue. Was pursue. Where am I? Okay, perfect. Pursue. What men must chase. So we must run away, but we also must run towards something at the same time. Here's a golden nugget I want to give you today. Manhood is not just about what you avoid, it's about what you become. It's about what you become. Look what it says here. Here's some of the words we find, and we'll go back to that scripture quickly. Here's some of the words we find in 1 Timothy. We find righteousness, living right. We find godliness, which is reflecting God. We find faith, trusting under pressure. Love, which is sacrificial leadership. Steadfastness, which is staying in power. Gentleness, strength under control. Strength under control. All these things are part of this context of scripture. Flee these things, all the things we just mentioned. Pursue this. Run away from that. Run towards this. And can I tell you how powerful the leadership of a man is when they're pursuing righteousness? How powerful the leadership of a man is when they're pursuing godliness and faith and love. And here's the one, gentleness. Sometimes we think strong leadership in men is being like this, and we're men, and we're going to conquer, and we're going to push. But sometimes the greatest, strongest man is the one that knows how to be gentle.
That's right.
And knows how to flow in patience. And knows how to flow in love. Sometimes, again, one thing, and this is something that just came to me right now, we oftentimes as men will try to use our masculinity to even hide issues within us as well.
Wow.
Oh, you know, like they say in my culture, you know, we have a lot of machismo men. You know, machismo meaning, you know, I'm a man and you don't tell me what to do and I don't need no woman to come and correct me with something and I don't need my wife to this and I don't need any other man because I'm my own man, I'm a man. But that's not the definition of a man. Being dominant doesn't make you strong. It doesn't. Because if that was the case, man, wouldn't it have said it here? Pursue dominance. Pursue control. It would have said it here, but these are things that go against what the culture says a man should be.
That's right.
It's opposite. So that's our breakdown for pursue. Media shapes our mindset. Social media shapes our identity. So many different things that are trying to shape who we are that God called us to be. If you don't pursue God, you will drift into sin. If we don't pursue God, we will drift into sin. And I think drift is so scary. Drift is so scary. How many are grateful that in your car, you have that feature that keeps you on the highway, right? If you're moving, if you're kind of drifting, it goes beep, beep. Thank God for that, right?
Yeah.
And for a split second, you might look down, maybe you're looking at the other car, but beep, 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 it goes that way. How many times have we drifted that way? And I believe that reminder, that thing that puts you back on track, I believe is the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's the one that beats when we're starting to drift. Because drift is, this is why drift is scary. Because it's not this exaggerated extreme that goes this way. It starts off like this. You see how I'm drifting? It starts subtle. It's not sudden. It starts subtle. And the enemy is good with the long game. He's great in strategy. And he's not all about, let me get you to the extreme. He wants to get you to drift. As long as you can drift, that's okay. Here's something that might break your theology, and maybe I might get thrown out today, this morning, by saying this, maybe not. But the enemy also doesn't care about what we do in the church. He doesn't care about, wow, you lifted your hands in worship. Wow, man, that terrifies me. Right? Oh my goodness, you came to Bible study. Oh no. Oh my goodness, you know all the lyrics to the songs. Wow, oh my goodness. You're defeating me. You can do all that and still lose it private.
That's right.
And the enemy be right there. Oh, but well, he looks like a great worshiper. Yeah, that's cool. But what's happening inside of us?
That's right.
What's happening in private? Because at the end of the day, that's where the battle is. Not your worship in public, that's great. But just, we get it twisted. Our worship in public should be the product of what's happening in private. So when I worship in private, when I pray in private, when I do what I'm called to do in private, what you see in public should be the overflow of what's happening in private. Are you with me? Who's empowered in this room this morning? Number three. I don't know if you gave me a sign. Okay, good. Because I wasn't paying attention that way. So let me go to the third thing. So we talked about this, and let's go to the last one, which is fight. Now we're talking, right? Fight. This is what men must stand for. Okay? Christianity is not passive. And neither is manhood. And what I mean by passive is that we're called to just kind of stay over here and, you know, just sway our feet and just get by. No, there are moments where the Lord is saying, I need you to take some bold steps of faith. I need you to step up. I need you to stand out. I need you to be different. I'm calling you for a time such as this to be who I called you to be in this generation, in this moment. Here's the other thing that I've been reminded as well in leadership. Is sometimes we think we're the last Pepsi Cola on earth as well. That God, oh no, if I don't do it, oh, that's it, you know. Here's the sad reality. If we don't do it, God will always call someone else. Someone else is going to step up. What happened with Moses? When Moses did what he did God say, oh no, all right, that was my only guy. Now what? Who's gonna lead these people into the promised land now? Moses is done. Joshua, you're next. And I want to be that person. I want to be the one that God says, you're next. Step forward. I'm empowering you. I'm giving you the courage. I'm giving you the strength. I'm giving you the wisdom. Step up. Tell a man next to you, step up. Step up. Don't be afraid. It makes sense now when I read Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. For what? For I am with you. If you need a reminder, man, here's your empowering moment for today. Be strong and courageous. That's not coming from Ray. That's coming from the Lord in His Word. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. This is not just about your leadership in your church. This is in your marriage, with your children, with your family that you've given up on. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Sometimes we have to throw all these issues out in the open. Just like the pastor said this morning. Just confront it right at hand. This is what's going on. And say it for what it is. But we got to fight, men. There's sin. There's culture issues. There's distractions. There's internal battles. Financial stresses. Identity confusion. Comparison. Now, what does fighting mean? Go and start being offensive to people? No, that's not what that means. It means being reminded that the Holy Spirit is the one leading. And we're going to step in boldness and not allow these things to mold us. But let the Spirit of God mold who we are. Amen. Culture will change. The Word doesn't. Amen. Culture will change. I don't know why I need to repeat this again, but culture will change. The Word doesn't change. How they label what a man is in the 21st century can change. His Word and what he says, who a man is, never changes. So our grounding is in the Word. It's not in culture. It's not in your situation, in your problem. It's in the Word. And this is what I want to close with you today. If I could get there. Okay. Key takeaway. There's anything you get from this workshop, and I know we only got 30 minutes. I wish we had an hour for us to just talk a little bit more, right? But I want to give you this key takeaway. Take this with you. Culture will train men to escape, compare, and shut down. But God calls leaders to flee, pursue, and fight. Amen. Praise God. And I think I actually ended on time. Men, is there anything that we can pray for? I would like to pray for you. If I have like 30 seconds just to pray for you. Is there anything that we could just pray for?
Boldness.
Boldness.
For our marriage, that way we want to fight the good, you know, evil
Unity.
From separating us and have leadership. You need to flee that. We want to pursue and we want to fight for it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Focusness.
Focus.
Wisdom.
Focus.
Be strong in our private so that overflow in our people's contract.
Amen. Amen. So, men, can we actually pray together? I want this whole room to just pray with me for a minute. Let's pray for this session. 1 minute left. A 1 minute power prayer. A powered men prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you brought us us men together here in this room, to remind us to be bold, to be courageous. Lord God, I pray right now for wisdom. I pray, Lord, that these men will have discernment. I pray, Lord, for marriages in this room today. Lord, the enemy has been trying to destroy marriages and cause division. But Lord, we already know the tactic. It's the same dumb old scheme that he does. Lord, we serve you, and you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. So God, we ask you that you would empower your sons this morning to stand firm, to be bold, to pursue righteousness and love and steadfastness, to flee from the perils of this world. And Lord, most importantly, God, to step up and be the men that they've been called to be. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all the men in this room shout, Amen. Amen. God bless you, my brother. It's great to see you, man.
We're so good at like faking and being like faking it. And like we walk into church, how you doing? That's the man answer. That's the standard answer.
That's the man answer. If the enemy could keep us there, that's it. You don't mind if you come to the building.
Right, right, right. He don't want you living victory.
Come on, brother.
All right, brother. That was good words.
Oh,